Yes. Okay, so I thank the organizers for inviting me. So I want to talk about algebra convergence modulo L. So it's not really something related to the periodic Langlands program, the local periodic Langlands program. Actually, I'm not really working in the local periodic Langlands program, but I have made an effort, so I have changed my title to algebra convergence modulo P. So it's more in the fashionable. And okay. So this is there are three parts in the talk, and the last one, the two first are done. And the last one is a work in progress and with Chandra Shekhar Kare. Okay, so I will begin to the first part. In the first part, I will begin with a special case of the object I want to study. So the Haeckel algebra of modular forms modulo 2 of level 1. So I define M tilde, the algebra of modular forms modulo 2 on level 1, and the definition is the simplest and most naive you can imagine. You take all modular forms of level 1 and annihilate with coefficient in Z, and you reduce them modulo 2. You reduce their Q expansion modulo 2, and you get like that a subalgebra of F2 of Q, the ring of power series over F2 in the variable Q. Okay, so we know the structure of this ring since Schwarzenegger, it's elementary. That just as an algebra, the algebra F2 of delta tilde, where delta tilde is the reduction of delta modulo 2, which has a simple form in characteristic 2, simply sum of Q n square for n odd. So, well. Then, on the space, you have the echo operator acting. So, for every prime L, the echo operator TL acts by this formula, which is familiar. And note that, basically, the L is the L modulo 2. So, for L odd, that's simply 1. And for L equal to 2, that's 0. So that stabilizes M tilde, the modular forms, the Q function of modular forms modulo 2. And also, what I will call M tilde K, which is simply M tilde truncated at K, that is, the space of dimension K plus 1 generated by F2, by delta tilde square, up to delta tilde K. Okay. And then I can introduce the object, which is the title of this slide, which is A. So, well, first I need to define AK, that's the AQ algebra generated by the AQ operator TL acting on M tilde K. And I don't take T2 or U2. I exclude it from the things. And then I have an AK at each weight K, and I have an inclusion M tilde K into M tilde K plus 1, which induces some morphism between the AQ algebra, AK plus 1 to AK, which is obviously surjective because the image contains all the TL, and the TL generates AK. So I define A as the limit, the projective limit of AK of this semi-active system. So this A is the object of study of the first part, and generalization will be the object of study of all this talk, and that's what I call the Haeckel algebra of modular forms, modulo 2 in this case, on level 1. Okay, so next question, which is natural in this context, what is the structure of this algebra A? So there is an old result about this. Which is due to Tate in the 70s, which is the starting point of the Serre conjecture in Carré and Wittenberger proofs, which is the fact that there is only one semi-simple modular representation of level 1 modulo 2, which is the sum of twice the trivial character, which has trace 0 in characteristic 2. And as a consequence of that, consequence I don't explain in detail, but that's easy, TL is nilpotent on the space M tilde K, on the space generated by 1 delta delta K, and the algebra AK are nilpotent, the algebra A is a complex local rings with the TL in the maximal ideal, topologically nilpotent in A. Then, for a long time, there was no other result about this algebra A, and recently, so basically I guess the proof did in 2010 and began telling the story, Serre began telling the story in various seminars in 2010, but it was published last week, I guess, in 2012. The structure of A has been determined that simply F2 of XY with no relation, that is the power series in two variables X and Y, and that these two variables you can take X is equal to T3, the echo operator, T3 which lives in A by definition, and Y is T5 which lives in A. And in particular, that implies, which is not obvious a priori, that A is a domain of the regular local ring of dimension 2. Small remark is that instead of T3 and T5, there is nothing really particular about T25, even if for some reason they are the better, they are the best system parameter you can take, not only because they are the smallest, but instead of TL, of T3, you can take TL simply with L congruent to 3 modulo 8. And you can take instead of T5, TL prime with L prime congruent to 5 modulo 8. If you take a TL with L congruent to 1 or 8 modulo 1 or 7, sorry, modulo 8, then the TL will be in the square of the maximal ideal of A. So, I'm not going to explain their proof, but I will give almost two proofs of this result, two other proofs, not the proof of Nicolas Anser. So, for a long time, I did not know their proof. They just sent it to me. I'm not even sure that they are going to publish it, because they published the result as a note in the compendium of the Académie des Sciences. And I can say that their proof is hard. Well, it's completely elementary. That's maybe surprising. They use nothing, no algebraic geometry, no rigid geometry, no Galois representation. Well, just element, basically, just the formula for delta tilde I have given and the formula for the echo operators. See, that's pretty, but that's 50 pages, and 50 pages of elementary mass are necessarily hard. So, I sketch actually two proofs, but one will be in the case of equal to 3, but I make some comment to see that it works as well in the case of equal to 2. And at the end, I sketch a more general, more conceptual proof later, which I found with Chandra Shekhar Kare. Okay, so that's the theorem. And I want to explain why they were interested in the idea of A, and why I got interested in this kind of question. So, the first remark is that the structure of A gives the structure of the space of modular form modulo 2, M tilde, as well as a module. The reason for this is that there is a duality between A and M tilde. You know the classical duality which sends an operator T on the modular form F to the first coefficient A1 of TF. So the duality is not perfect because I have not put T2 inside A, but you can, even if it's not perfect, it's enough to determine completely what is M tilde. So if you know the structure of A, you know the structure of M tilde. Well, on knowing the structure of M tilde as the echo module, that is knowing basically all modular forms mode P, mode 2, and knowing how the echo operators act on it, can give you, well, not automatically, you have to work, but it gives you a lot of information on the coefficient of modular forms modulo 2. And because you have a lot of interesting modular forms, interesting in the sense that their coefficients are interesting as big functions, such as, so RK of N, that's just the number of ways to write N as the sum of K square. To K of N, that's just the coefficient of delta to the power K, and many, many others, well, all of them give you modular forms, and using the structure of A of M tilde, you can get information on RK of N and to K of N modulo P in general, and 2 in this case. Okay. On this information, you have two kinds of information you can get. That's another example of two kinds of information, both about density, so question about well, for example, look at RK of N, how many are odd even synthetically? You try to get estimation of that. That's what I can call a density result. Or reciprocity. Reciprocity. Reciprocity means finding the law. finding the law. Which one are odd or even? And this seems to be Serre's original motivation. And there is another motivation, which is actually a consequence of the second one, but with some more work, not automatic, that you can get information on the partition function P of N, and congruence on the partition function P of N, modulo 2 or modulo other prime, which is an active area of research, getting back to Ramanujan, and which I discovered after following Serre's talk. And this is Nicolas, non-analytic number theorist, original motivation. Okay, so now about this A, about this theorem of Serre and Nicolas, Serre has two questions in various seminars. So the first question is the following. Is there a continuous Galois representation of GQ2, which is the Galois group of absolute Galois group of Q unramified outside 2, to GL2 of A? So A is a ring, the algebra of modular forms, of which structure has been determined, such that the trace of R of Probel is equal to TL, that's the natural condition of Heisler Shimura for L different from 2, for every prime L different from 2. And if such observation exists, what is that R? And if there are several of them, what are the possible determinants of R? And the question 2 is, what happens for Euler functions modulo 3? So actually, Sarah asked question 1, and actually the talk at Harvard that I attended to was end at asking question 1. Question 2 was not asking formally as a question, but he said something like, I'd like to know what happens for Euler functions modulo 3, and he didn't think it was as simple as for modulo 2, that it was smooth of dimension 2. Okay, but we'll see what happens. So I will answer those questions. So first, I want to answer the first question about the existence of the Galois representation. So I proved the existence of Galois representation, I send it to Serre, and after that we began a discussion, and the discussion led up to a theorem which many results. So only the first one is completely of mine, the other, we have done that together because he had many ideas. So first one is, there exists a unique, and actually the uniqueness is not entirely of mine, there exists a unique continuous R like Serre asked, which satisfies this condition, and it is absolutely irreducible, and the determinant is 1. Ah, okay, that's right. So, A is a domain, so it has a fraction ring K, and I mean that the R from GT2 to GL2 of K is absolutely irreducible. That's what I mean. So that tells you what R is, that R is absolutely irreducible over the fraction ring of A. Now A is also a local ring, so you can see what happens over the residue field of A. That is R modulo MA, where MA is the maximal ideal of A, surrounded by X and Y. So of course, you know that it has to be a modular representation, almost by definition, of level 2, of level 1 on modulo 2. So as we have seen, its semi-simplification has to be 1 plus 1. So it has to be of this form, 1, 1, and some character eta from GQ to F2. Now the question is, what is eta? And you have four possibilities, because there are three extensions of Q, which are quadratic and unified outside 2. They are Q of square root of 2, Q of I, and Q of square root of negative 2. And there is a fourth possibility, which is eta is equal to 0, R semi-simple. So which one it is? Well, it is eta is a character attached to Q square root of 2. So now we have determined the reducibility of the representation R at the maximal ideal and at the zero ideal, if you want, a localization of the zero ideal. You can also localize at a prime of 8, 1, because A is dimension 2, so that's what you have, prime of 8, 0, 8, 2, 8, 1. So prime of 8, 1, if P is a prime of 8, 1, like the prime generated by X or by Y, then you can take the quotient and the fraction field of the quotient, and you can look at R modulo this maximal ideal as a representation on this field. So it's always irreducible for all prime of 8, 1, and actually it's absolutely irreducible for all prime with one exception. And this exception is an idea which begins by X plus Y plus some formula that when confused, it comes from some Chebyshev formula. So that's the only exception and for this one, R modulo P is actually irreducible, but absolutely reducible. And the last result, which was also questioned by Serre, is the TL are algebraically independent over F2 in A. Okay. So I am not going to prove all this theorem, I am just going to prove the first part, and actually not the uniqueness, but the existence of such a representation, so the question of Serre. Okay, so to explain the proof, the construction of the representation, we need a tool which is the pseudo-character in the sense of Schoenvier. So, the two characters have been invented by first Wiles in some special case, and then Taylor and then Rouquier, but they work only in characteristics greater than the dimension. If you want a pseudo-character dimension D, you have to assume the dimension greater than D, otherwise almost none of the lemma of Taylor or Rouquier work. And moreover, Schoenvier developed a machine which works in any characteristic, and moreover, which is more conceptual. So I want to introduce this notion. So we start with a base ring. As we will be looking to pseudo character which corresponds to representation over a ring A, so A will be your base ring and commutative. And R will be an A algebra, but non-commutative in general. For example, typically, if I want to work with a group, I will take R is equal to the group algebra over A of G. On D, an integer, the dimension. Okay, so I consider two functors, F and FR, from the category of A algebra to the category of set. And they are very simple functors. The first functor simply take, is a partial functor, so it takes an A algebra B, and it gives you the set B, which where you forget the addition, multiplication, and everything. And FR of B is just, you take B, you take R tensor AB, and then you forget about the all structure you have of R tensor AB, you just keep the set, the underlying set. Okay, so now I can give the definition of the pseudo character, which is pretty simple. So a pseudo character D from R or from G, I mean in the case R is equal to A of G, I will say from the group G, to A, so okay, of dimension D. So that's a morphism of functor D from FR to F. So concretely, that means that for every A algebra B, you give a map of set, an application, well, a function, I don't know how you say in English, DB from R tensor AB to B, so it's not linear or anything, but it does satisfy some properties which are the following. Such that, well, it's multiplicative, DB of XY is equal to DB of X, DB of Y, and it's homogeneous of degree D. That's where the integer D of the dimension appears. Okay? So, okay, try to remember this definition because I will use it in the next things and it will disappear. Yes, maybe, but I don't have much room on the board. Oh, yes, if I could. No, okay. Okay. Okay, so a pseudo character D from R to A is the data for every A algebra B of an application DB from B times R, or R times B, to B, which satisfies, so basically when you take B is equal to A, that's just a map from R to A, but universal. And which satisfies the following rule, it's multiplicative, and it's homogeneous of degree D. So that's for a scalar B in B, and X and Y are elements in R tensor AB. Okay. Yes? Yes, B is commutative. Well, R is not. Sorry, I should have said, yes, the category of, yes. B is commutative. That's the usual, but R is not. Okay. So, facts about Chandier pseudo character. And most of them are easy facts, and the last one will be a big theorem. First thing is that pseudo character, they're meant to do that. They are meant to correspond to representation, to be a kind of more suitable, more workable variant of representation. So if you take a representation in the sense of a morphism of rings, of A algebra from R to MD of A. So what I call the representation, R. So you define the pseudo character D, R, from R to A. And how do you define it? Well, you need to define a D, B. You need to define a D, B from R tensor AB to B. So first you take R tensor 1 from R tensor AB to MD of B. And then you take the determinant to B. And because the determinant is multiplicative and homogeneous of degree D, it's a pseudo character in the sense of Chandier. So representation defines pseudo character over any ring. The second thing is that if D is a pseudo character, you can define for any element in the ring R, or for any element in the group G, if you want, you can define the characteristic polynomial KD of X of this element. That's an element in that's a polynomial in one variable big X, one new variable big X, and you define it as follows. You took D on the ring B, for B you take A of X, the ring is a polynomial in the variable X on X, of the element X minus X is, which is an element in R center A, A of X. Okay? So you can define the characteristic polynomial KD of X. So why is this notion natural, this definition natural? Simply because by very definition, if you take R a representation of MD of A, and you take DR its pseudo character, and you take X an element of R, then the characteristic polynomial KD of X I have just defined is just the characteristic polynomial of the matrix R of X. So that's just what you expect. So once you define the characteristic polynomial, you can define its the trace of the element X, because you take the element of degree D minus 1 of the characteristic polynomial, the coefficient. You can define the determinant of an element X, because you take the constant term of the characteristic polynomial, etc. You can define all the symmetric functions of the eigenvalues, okay, in a natural way. Okay, on the if D is DR, then the trace TD of R to A is just the trace of R. Okay. How does the notion of Schoenevier's determinant relate to the other notion of pseudo character? Well, when D is equal to in dimension 2, that's only proved in dimension 2, and when 2 is invertible in A, then associating the trace TD to the pseudo character D identifies Schoenevier's and Rouquier's notion of pseudo character. So, characteristic different from 2, that's the same notion. And here is a theorem which I am not going to prove, which extends the theorem of Taylor and Rouquier. Taylor in characteristic 0, Rouquier in characteristic 14 dimension, and then Schoenevier in any characteristic, which is a notion of pseudo character, that if A is an algebraically closed field, or even, okay, no, an algebraically closed field, every pseudo character D is a DR for a unique semi-simple R from R to MD of A. So that should be D exponent R. That is, every character D comes from a unique semi-simple representation in the case of the ring A is an algebraically closed field. And the last result about pseudo character, which this one is easy, is that they descend well. That's why they are better than representation, more workable than representation. If A prime is a subring of A, and if you have a pseudo character from G to A, such that the characteristic polynomial has coefficient in A prime for all X, then actually your pseudo character is a pseudo character from G to A prime. It's D. It's a dilemma to prove that it is D. Like, okay. And it's a monic polynomial, also. So, okay. So now I can prove the existence of the representation R. So the first step is to construct a continuous pseudo character D from G to 2 to A, such that it satisfies the condition we want for the representation, that is the trace of the pseudo character of Frobel is TL. The determinant is 1. So I don't go into details of this proof because basically it's standard. It's standard even if this notion of pseudo character is not so standard. It's basically done by, I guess, at Wells, who was the first to do this kind of construction, or maybe it was Ida, I'm not really sure of the history, but it's 30 years ago. You, on some equi-algebra like A, you can define by gluing the representation attached by the links to eigenforms, you can define a kind of you can glue the trace, at least, the representation don't glue well, but the character, pseudo character do, the trace do, then you can reduce modulo 2 and get the pseudo character D from G to 2 to A, which satisfies those conditions. So that's the first step, which is essentially standard. So the second step is just an application of Schoenevier's theorem, which tells you the following. If K is the fraction field of A, and K bar is the algebraic closure of K, then this pseudo character with value in A, I can consider it as a pseudo character with value in k-bar, and over k-bar, it comes from a representation of determinant 1. So that trace R of Frobel is equal to TL. So we have a representation over k-bar, and we want to descend it over A. So before defining it, we have to prove something that R is absolutely irreducible. That is irreducible because so far we are over k-bar. So let's prove it. If R is reducible, then trace R is the sum of two characters, which are abelian, so their sum factor as an application, as a function, from GQ2 to R factors through GQ2 up, the abelianization of this group. So, if, therefore, if you consider the pseudo, well, any integer k, and you look, you know, remember that A, the algebra A, was the projective unit of AK, and the AK were finite sets, finite algebra. So if you consider the image of trace R, but in AK, that's a map from GQ2 AB to a finite set AK. So that TD of that this map sends from L to the operator TL. When you see it in AK, that is an endomorphism of NTK, which are the modular forms 1 delta delta K. So, because that's a finite quotient of GQ2 AB, that shows that TL depends on L, on Frobel, only on L through the value of Frobel in a finite abelian extension of Q, which is unified outside 2. And by Kronecker-Weber, that means that the action of TL on NTK depends only on L modulo a power of 2. But we will see that this is false. We have to take a k, so that the first k which works is k equal to 9, so the k is equal to 9, and look at delta tilde 9. So delta tilde 9 is delta a delta tilde. But because we are in characteristic 2 and delta tilde is sum of q n square with n odd, this is the sum of nm odd, odd so should be in the index of course, of q of n square plus 8 n square. And now if you look at O with the operator tl acts on it, for example when l is congruent to 1 modulo 8, just by looking at the coefficient and the formula, you see very easily that TL delta tilde 9 is either delta tilde or 0, and actually it's delta tilde if and only if L is not in the form n square plus 32 m square with n and m integers. That's because n square plus 8 m square with n and m odd somehow translate into n square plus 32 m square with any n and m. Okay? But 32 is not a Neidonian number in the sense of Euler. That is, that means that the set of primes of the form n square plus 32 m square is not determined by congruence. It's not, well, prime is of this form if only L is congruent to something modulo something else. So it doesn't work like that. But that's a contradiction because we have seen that the action of TL on delta tilde 9 in particular depended only on L modulo congruences, modulo congruence modulo power of 2. So that's a contradiction. Okay? So R is absolutely irreducible. So we have a rotation over k-bar, which is irreducible, and we want to prove that it comes from rotation over A. So first, over k, and then over A. So, if R is not defined over k, because we know that trace R is in A, so it's in k, and R is absolutely irreducible, we know by standard arguments that there is a field of quaternions H, I mean really a field of division rings of quaternion H, over k, such that R factors through GQ2 to H star, the multiplicative group of H. But then you look at R of C square, where C is of course the complex conjugation. That's R of C square, that's 1. So because we are in characteristic 2, that's the same as R of C minus 1 square is equal to 0. And because H is a field, that just means that R of C is equal to 1. That means that R is an even representation. The problem with R being even is that actually if R was even, it would factor through the maximal totally real quotient of GQ2 and even Pro2 because it's clear that the image A is a Pro2 ring, basically, so it's clear that the image of R will be a Pro2 group. So R will factor through the maximal Pro2 totally real quotient of GQ2. And this group is abelian, that is easy to see by a Frattini argument. You just have this number of generators will be equal to the number of totally real quadratic extension of Q unified outside 2. And there is 1, which is the same as we have seen before, Q squared of 2. So that's a contradiction. Because we have just seen that R was not abelian. It was not, it was absolutely irreducible. Okay. And then, there is an easy argument to go from K to A, or at least a classical argument. Well, since the trace of R is in A and R is associated with irreducible, then you can show that R stabilizes an A lattice M inside K square, not a free lattice. I'm just telling an A lattice that is a pan lattice generated M module whose K span is K square. But now you can look at the bidual of this module, and that's a reflexive module over A, which is a regular local ring of dimension 2, so by an old result, that's a free module, and the action of G, Q2 on this free module gives you the reflection you were looking at, which has the right trace. And there is a last step, which is to prove that R is continuous, because we have lost continuity somewhere in the middle, because there is no topology on K bar. So I couldn't say that R was continuous over K over on K bar. But we can recover the topology now, because R is absolutely irreducible and trace R is continuous, that's a lemma, which implies that R is continuous as well. Okay. So that completes the proof of the first point of the first result. Okay, so now I don't go to the second result. Well, I just want to say something about this first result, the existence of the Galois representation. What's the motivation for this? Well, first it's a natural question, but the second is, I said that one of the motivations of Serre was, and Nicolas, was to find information about the coefficient of modular forms. And if you want to get precise information, it's good to have the Galois representation, because then you can try to compute its image, which we have basically done, and apply Chebotaref. So that's part, that this theorem is if you want a lemma in the application of the structure of A to coefficients of modular forms. Okay, so now I want to talk about the case P is equal to 3. So, well, I want to tell you the results and then try to prove them. So, well, there is a reason to consider the case P is equal to 3 on level 1, because that's the only case with the case P is equal to 2 on level 1 where you have a simple structure for M tilde. So I define M tilde with the algebra form of level 1 modulo 3, as before. And again, by Alexandre Dyer, M tilde is a simple structure, F3 of delta tilde, just the polynomial in delta tilde. And now I can define M tilde K as before, that is just the vector space generated by 1, delta tilde to the power k. AK as the AQ algebra acting on this space. So now, of course, I take the AQ algebra generated by all AQ operators TL with L different from 3. So I take T2 but not T3. And A as the projective limit of the AK. And I want to study A as before. So, first things. Now it's not Tate, but it's Serre in the 70s as well. The only modular semi-simple mode 3 representation of GQ3, so that's the Galois group of Q in the set 3, is, that should be a direct sum, sorry, or that's the trace if you want, is 1 plus direct sum omega 3, where omega 3 is a cyclotomic character modulo 3. So the trace of this representation is 1 plus omega 3, and the value at a prob L is 0 when L is congruent to 2 modulo 1, and 2 when L is congruent to 1 modulo 3. Okay, so as a consequence of this, the TL, now it's not exact, always the TL which acts nilpotently, the TL when L congruent to 2 modulo 3 acts nilpotently on M tilde K, but now it's the 1 plus TL when L congruent to 1 modulo 3 which acts nilpotently on M tilde K. So, as before, A is a complete local ring, on the TL in the first case, or 1 plus TL in the second case, are in the maximal ideal of A. And the result is that A is again a regular local ring, F3 of XY, where you can take X, the vector generator, to be equal to T2, and Y to be equal to 1 plus T7. And as before, A is a regular local ring, regular local domain, of dimension 2, as in the case of L equal to 2. So, there is nothing special with T2 and 1 plus T7, as in the first case. Actually, you can replace T2 by TL when L is congruent to negative 1 modulo 3, but not negative 1 modulo 9. And 1 plus T7, you can replace it by 1 plus TL when L is congruent to 1 modulo 3, but you want L not to be split into this extension is Q minus 3. So that's the only prime L that is excluded by this condition is, I guess, 69. 69 is a very nice frame. Maybe 67 or something like that. I will give a proof of this theorem, or at least a sketch of a proof. I will call it semi-elementary. That is, it's kind of intermediate between the proof of Serre and Nicolas in the case L equal to 2, on the proof I will give at the end with Carré of a much more general case than this. So I will use some Galois abstractions that simplifies a lot the proof of Nicole Ansert, and at the end there will be some kind of computations that are simpler because I need to prove less, but they are reminiscent of the computation in Nicole Ansert. So this semi-elementary proof will work as well in the case L equal to 2, but I do that in the case L equal to 3. Okay. So the step one is like the step one of the first theorem. We construct a pseudo character from GQ3, Galois group of Q and Galois 3 to A, such that the trace of the pseudo character sends from L to TL. Okay. And by construction, this pseudo character modulo the maximal ideal is just the trace of the unique representation modular mod 3, which is 1 plus omega 3. And the determinant by construction is omega 3. The cyclotomic character modulo 3. Okay, on step 2, we consider the universal deformation of D modulo the maximal ideal, that is, of this pseudo character, which is 1 plus omega 3 and omega 3, with fixed determinant on characteristic 3. That is, well, I don't want to define in great detail what that means, but you can define a deformation problem for pseudo character as you do for representation, and actually it's even simpler because it's always representable for free. You don't need to apply a difficult result to prove it's representable, that's almost by definition. So, you consider the universal deformation of the residual pseudo character D modulo MA. So one example of deformation is the pseudo character D with value in A. Okay? So, as I said, it's representable by a complex local ring R. And that is a standard argument. One has a natural map from R to A, that's simply because we have a natural pseudo character D from GQ3 to A, which of course deforms itself modulo M. So, modulo the maximal ideal. So, by definition of the universal properties of R, we have a map from R to A. And it's surjective, that's a standard argument, because its image contains the TL for all L, and A is generated by the TL topologically. And because R is compact and this map is continuous, that shows that this map is surjective. Okay, so now we need to compute the tangent space TR of R. So we are talking about the deformation problem of a pseudo character with two characters, 1 and omega 3, 1 plus omega 3, which are distinct. So I have a general theorem computing in any dimension the deformation space of a pseudo character. And basically, the result has the following form in general. So I just wrote it in this case to void space, but actually it works in a much more general context. But in this context, it I use as a tangent space of the deformation ring R. That is M, if M is the maximal ideal of R, that's M divided by M square 3, M square plus 3 R. Is in an exact sequence with first H1 of GQ3 F3 square, which is easy to understand if you are kind of used to this kind of deformation question, as I know many people are here. So just the deformation which is reducible when you deform 1 and you deform omega 3. And then you have a map to the tensor product between those two H1 of omega 3 and omega 3 inverse. And actually, the image of TR in this is actually the kernel of the map from this tensor product to H2, and this map is a cup product. So that's what you get in general. So in this special case, actually, things simplify, you can compute everything, of course, and you get that TR has dimension 2 by making some computations that I will not explain, and you make, actually, you can even determine a basis of TR as two deformations of the character 1 plus omega 3, which generate a basis of TR, very easily. And by step 2, that is by the fact that we have a map from R to A, which is surjective, a local map, I should have said, local map of local rings, one gets that A is a quotient of that the maximal ideal of A is generated by T2 and 1 plus T7. So A is a quotient of F3 of T2 and 1 plus T7, but we need to prove that it is equal to FQ of T2 1 plus T7. So, to prove that, It suffices to prove, it's sufficient to prove that A has dimension at least 2, of course. So to do that, I need to introduce a notion which already plays a role in Serre's and Nicolas' work, which is the order of nilpotence g of k of a form, say delta tilde k, because that's the basis, that's enough to consider those ones, as follows. So g of k is the smallest integer n, such that when you apply the operator t2 on 1 plus t7 in total n times or more to delta tilde k, you get 0. So that's natural definition. That's, well, in other words, saying that g of k, the order of nilpotence, is less than n, means that delta tilde k is killed by ma to the n, because we know that the maximal limit of a is generated by t2 on 1 plus t7. And to prove that the dimension of a is greater than 2, so basically what Serre and Nicolas do was to compute completely, everything in g of k in all k's. But actually we don't need to do that. By the theory of the Hilbert-Samuel polynomial, it's enough to show, so that's an easy argument I don't detail, but you can try to reconstitute it for yourself. It's enough to prove that the order of nilpotence of delta tilde k is little o of k. Because that will prove, if you apply the Hilbert-Samuel theory, that the dimension of A will be strictly greater than 1. And strictly greater than 1 means, because it's an integer, at least 2. So how do we prove that g of k is the order of nilpotence of delta tilde k is when k goes to infinity, you divide it by k goes to 0, that is little o of k. Well, you can prove that separately because we know that we have only two operators t2 and 1 plus t7, the maximal ideal. We can prove that separately for t2 and 1 plus t7. That is, one has g of k less than g2 of k plus g7 of k, where g2 of k you define it as the number of times you have to apply t2 to kill the delta k. On g7 of k, they define it the same way. So clearly you have this inequality, and clearly to prove that g of k is a little o of k, then you have to prove this for g2 and for g7, separately. So let's prove it for g2. Okay, that's set 6. So I need a formula. If I have an integer k, I can write it in basis 3, as a 3 adic integers. Sum of ai 3 to the I, where the ai are the digits in basis 3, 0, 1, and 2. And then I define c of k, I play the bad trick to k, I replace all its 3 by 2. So sum of ai 2 to the I. And then you have the following result. If you look at t2, you apply it to delta tilde k. That's a polynomial in delta tilde I in the delta tilde I of degree at most k minus 1. That's because delta tilde n tilde k is stable by t2, and actually t2 exists potently, so you cannot have a coefficient of delta tilde k. But some coefficients, so you can write it as a polynomial, but most coefficients will be zero, actually. Some coefficients will be zero. But if you have a coefficient bi which is non-zero, this implies that this C function, you know, the two, well, defined above, has dropped by at least 1 from the K you start with. So, the proof is by induction on K, and that's a relatively long proof, but not as long as what you have. It's just an induction, it's elementary, basically, in the formula. One tool is that you have a formula which gives you a relation between t2, delta tilde k minus 1, delta tilde k minus 2, and k minus 3. You have a linear relation of recurrence of on the t2 of delta tilde k of order 3. Sorry. And another remark is that the lemma is optimal. That is, there is at least one element I, such that bi is non-zero, and that c of I is just strictly less than c of k. That is, c of I is c of k minus 1. And actually, you can take for this I the degree n of this polynomial that you can compute as well, if you want, but I don't give the formula. So, now what happens? If you look at delta tilde k, it has k as some c of k, and you apply t2, you get a linear combination of delta tilde to some power, and the power I of those things have a c function, which is strictly less than c of k. And you apply, each time you apply t2, you get the c, you get the linear combination of delta I, but the c function, the function c of the power of the delta tilde which appear, drop by 1. So it implies clearly that g2 of k is less than c of k. And also clearly, c of k is big O of this expression, which is a little o of k, So that proves the thing for G2. And for G7, you don't write the formula, but actually you have even a better result. G7 of k is less than half C of k. And C of k is still, C of k divided by 2 is still a little o of k. So now G2 and G7 are little o of k. So G of k is the index of nilpotence is little o of k, and by Hilbert-Samuel theory, that implies that A has dimension 2. If A has dimension 2, because of the quotient of F2 of 1 plus T2 of T2 and plus T7, it is equal to 1 plus T2 T7. So that proves the result for L is equal to 3. So I at the beginning I mentioned some application to modular forms and partition functions. So I think that there are many of them, and I am just at the beginning to explore them. I don't know actually what Serre and Nicolas had in mind, because they have not published yet their application. They will later. But here is an application on the in the case modulo 3 of my result about the structure of A to the partition function. So it is as follows. You define, so the partition function is, as you know, well, the short way to define it for algebraists is that the number of conjugacy classes in the symmetric group SN. So, or the number of irreducible representation over C of this group, of this isomorphism. So, let N of X be the number of integers up to X, so that P of N is not divisible by 3. Okay, then you have this following lower bound, asymptotic lower bound for n of x is greater than square root of x log log x to the power k, and that's for every integer k, divided by square root of log of x. Okay, so that's analytic number theory, I mean. Okay, so this improves the best previous estimate, which is due to Al Green in 99, by a factor not very big, square root of log x. Log log x to the k, where k is as big as you want. Okay. They're still far from what we expect. Basically, we expect something. We expect, and there is a long trend of conjecture of question about the partition function modulo integers. And basically, the idea is that, which goes back to Ramanujan and works of Arkin in the 70s, in the 50s, sorry, is basically that. The partition function modulo 2 and modulo 3 is completely chaotic and random. That is, well, while the partition function modulo 5, 7, and other prime, basically, is not so chaotic. You have, for example, congruence, like the congruence of Ramanujan's. P of 5n plus 4 is congruent to 0 modulo 5 for all n. So it was proved by Ramanujan, and we have many generalizations of this, but not for n equal to 2 and equal to 3. And for n equal to 2 and n equal to 3, we expect P of n to be to have an equirepartition modulo 3. So n of x to be two-thirds of x. So we are very far from it. So the improvement I have done on Algren's things appears a little bit, not very serious. But still, I can go into the proof, but just for some people who have never worked about the partition function, the relation between the partition function and this story is just the fact classical fact that the generating function of the partition function is obviously these things, product of 1 minus q to the n minus 1, and delta has an expansion of q, product of 1 minus qn to the power 24. So we have a relation between this generating function of the partition function, big P of q, and delta tilde to the k. That's not the proof, that's just the connection between modular forms and the partition function. And then we have to use the structure of A, that, and in particular the details we have done about G2 and G7. But the proof only use superficially the structure of A. I don't use much about it. So the hope I have, and I am working on it a little bit with Carré in part, is that if you will use cleverly the structure of A, much more seriously than I have for this theorem, we can get better results, and maybe eventually we can get this conjecture that n of x is two-thirds of x, and that even p of n is random modulo 3 or things like that. That's an hope. Basically, that's not really the truth, because when I say work in progress, actually, I have not done any progress on this thing. So, well, maybe that's not reasonable. When I talked of this to Serge, he was quite skeptical, but okay, we'll see. Okay, so I have 10 minutes to mention the general case. So we wanted, after the two cases, where we have equal algebra of Euler-Hans homology of shared dimension 2, we wanted to see what happens in general, and we wanted to do that, if possible, using all what has been done, less elementary method, because, we now know a lot of things about equal algebra in general in other contexts, in very close context, actually, with the work of Frida, Coleman, Mazur, etc., Gouvea, Mazur. So can we apply all of this to things and prove a general case? And actually, we can. So let's go to the general case. So the general case, I fix a level n, an integer n, and P a prime, which does not divide n, and I consider the space of modular form modulo P of level n, weight at most k. So not one change, I am not on SP anymore, I'm on SP bar, because that's simpler, doesn't change much. What definition do I take for the modulance modulo P? You have two definitions, as you probably know, Serre's definition and Katz's definition. For what I will say, that doesn't matter. So take Serre's definition if you want. That is, you reduce the modular terms with the integral coefficient in characteristic zero, modulo P. That's just the definition. Okay, and then, okay, let AK, as before, be the sub-SP bar algebra generated by the good AP operator TL. So you exclude L equal to P, as before, and you exclude now the L that divides the level. And let me also introduce a larger AQ algebra, A plus K, where I put all the AQ operators, even the bad ones. In particular, even the one at P. The one at M won't play a big role, but the one at P can play a big role. So the AQ algebra of the AQ operator acting on M tilde K. And again, let A tilde be the projective limit of AK, and similarly, let me define A tilde plus the projective limit of A plus K. There should not be any tilde. Okay. That's too good. Sorry, let A be the projective limit of AK and A plus be the projective limit of A plus K. So, again, A was local rings before, but now A is a semi-local ring. That's well known. That's actually a product. A is a product of local component A rho bar. And there are finitely many local components A rho bar. They are indexed by rho bar, which runs among semi-simple modular of level n, Galois expansion modulo P. And we know there are finitely many of them. So that's why A is semi-local. So in the case level 1 L equal to 2 and L equal to 3, by the result of Tet and Serre, respectively, we knew that there was only one such representation, so that A was local. Now, for the same reason, A is simply semi-local. And we want to study each local component. On time for A+, that's the semi-local rings, but the local components are less nice to describe. Well, they are system of eigenvalues of the operators, but they're not exactly Galois representation. Okay? So I want to study the local component of A and also of A+, if I can. Okay. So first, a proposition, elementary proposition, which relates the two things, A and A+. So every local component, the two propositions are equivalent. Every local component A rho bar of A has dimension 2. Or, if you look at A+, the big AQ algebra with the bad AQ operators, that's the same thing as saying that every local component has dimension either 0 or 3. Actually, 0 when the component is ordinary, that is when the AQ operator TP or UP acts by an invertible element, and 3 otherwise, more precisely. So, proving the equivalence of the two propositions is essentially the yoga of the operator UP V, the Frobenius operator, on Muller form of characteristic P. That's something that has been studied since the 70s by Joshnovich. She was a student of Mazur, and by Carré as well in the 90s, as the legislator, and by their argument and a little bit more, we can prove this equivalence. And the conjecture is that, and actually the conjecture we will prove it in many cases, but we conjecture that it's always true that the property holds, that is, all the components of A have dimension 2. So the first two cases of this conjecture are known, that the case L equal to 2 and L equal to 3, P equal to 2 and P equal to 3, sorry, for N equal 1, for level 1. So that's what I said, the component of A plus were studied by Jozhnovich on the Carré. On Carré at the time, in 1998, so which much less technique that we now have, was able to prove not that the components have dimension 2, but that they have at least dimension 1 in the case rho bar is irreducible. That we conjecture dimension 2. Okay, so we will prove it in special case, in a wide class of, a large class of cases actually. So first the definition. I guess I have 5 minutes. A component A rho bar is called unobstructed if the tangent space of the deformation ring of the pseudo character D rho bar, pseudo character attached to rho bar, of rho bar, and I mean the deformation as pseudo character. I really want to deform the same things as deform with fixed determinant as dimension 2. Okay. So that's the definition. So first thing I want to say is that when rho bar is irreducible, that is absolutely irreducible because I am over S bar, then saying that R rho bar is unobstructed is exactly the same thing as in Mazur. That is the criterion is that the dimension of H1 for the relevant Galois group of the adjoint rho bar is zero, which means I take the trace zero in adjoint rho bar because I want fixed determinant as dimension 2. So the reason why the deformation of rho bar as pseudo character is the same thing as the deformation of rho bar as representation when rho bar is irreducible is the theorem of Hooke-Nissen in characters greater than 2 and Schoenvier in characteristic 2. So basically this notion is the same as the one in Mazur when rho bar is irreducible. When rho bar is reducible and rho bar is a sum of two characters and P is greater than 2, then rho bar is unobstructed. So we can note that in this case, K1 is always different from K2 because rho bar is odd. So in this case, you can compute the dimension of the tangent space by my result that I mentioned before on dimension of pseudo of deformation of pseudo character. And the condition is that this space and this space has both dimension 1. That's the condition for which you have A rho bar is unramified. Is unobstructed. So with this condition, you can check that, for example, in level 1, it happens for all regular prime P, and even for some non-regular prime P. Okay. So well, that's what you can get. And in the case characteristic 2, I don't know in general when rho bar is unobstructed or not. That should not be too hard to determine, but I have not done that. But in the special case where rho bar is a sum of two equal characters, like the case of Serre, then the rho bar is unobstructed if and only if the level is a power of 2. So for example, in the case of Serre, it's unobstructed. Theorem Nicolas. Okay, so theorem, if A rho bar is unobstructed, then it is isomorphic to S bar of xy, where xy are two variables, so the conjecture is true in this case, and moreover, A rho bar is regular local rings. So I don't have time to explain the proof, because I have 1 minute, and didn't want really to, but the idea is, let me just review the steps. Well, you define T and T plus, like A and I plus, but instead of being over FP bar, they're over ZP bar, over in characteristic zero, in mixed characteristic, for periodic modular terms instead of not P. And then, using the method of Gouvet and Mazur, which was done in the case rho bar irreducible, but that you can extend to the case rho bar reducible, you can prove that T rho bar has dimension 4, ZP bar, forget about the bar, XYZ. Three, you can relate T and T plus. T is without the bad echo operator and T plus is with the echo operator. So use for that result of Gouvia. Then, that was for us the most difficult step, but actually not so hard, is to relate T plus and A plus. Actually, I've talked to that with many people at Harvard and we didn't know how to do that. But, Carré knew well these things of cat strings of divided congruence. And with this, it's not too hard on using also duality argument. To prove that T plus and I plus are related. In a way that I can't explain, it's not so simple, it's not that they are related. Knowing T plus gives you what you want to know about A plus. And then you relate A plus on A, so that's what we have done in my proposition, you know. So that's the idea of the proof of the theorem. And there are also results in the obstructed case, but they are less precise. Well, if rho bar is irreducible on satisfying some standard hypothesis that I don't want to annoying, but well, then you can prove that the conjecture is still true, but not that rho bar is smooth, is regular. And in any case, the only thing that we can prove is that rho bar has dimension at least one, even when rho bar is reducible. Okay. And that's all. Yes.
So does that mean you would have some problem if you went to try to predict the argument of the constructing the representation?
Yes, exactly. We will. Probably we can't construct in all cases the representation.
Does it actually won't exist sometimes when
I don't know yet. I have not checked any case, but my intuition would be that when a rho bar is unobstructed, you never have a Galois representation. Basically, that's from my experience with Chenier and this kind of stuff for eigenvarieties. When the two character, when you're not over a regular domain, or over a ULD at least, two character tends to not come from representation. So, but that's something we could study when we have done in more details these things.